from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
All right, so let's time this out a little, timeline this out a little bit. Ty Dunn, go long TD. Last year during the Bills' slump, I would say it was at the low point for the Bills. They were 7-7, lose a game that they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah, 6-6 coming off the Broncos.
Okay,
loss.
Six and six. Yes, yes. Okay, so it was the Broncos' loss. I remember being frustrated with the team at that point. A lot of you were frustrated with the team. And Ty puts out what some would call a hit piece on Sean McDermott, even though it was sourced to the moon, and probably unearthed some things that the Buffalo Bills didn't really want to have unearthed. Forced them to have to answer to some people. Ty joins us now because Ty had the opportunity to speak with Bills general manager Brandon Bean. You can get that conversation at Go Along TD. Ty, when I originally heard that you were talking to Brandon Bean, I'm like, well, that's not a surprise. Ty Dunn is one hell of a charming guy. I'm sure he, you know, that the Bills welcomed him in with open arms to have this conversation. And Gene said, no, you know what? There might be another motive to this conversation.
Well, I'm just wondering, and Ty, thanks for your time here, but like before we talk about the conversation and the changes, certainly with this roster, how did that all go down? Was that you reaching out to them, or was that something preemptive? Like, you hear the cliche, keep your friends closer, your enemies, whatever it is, I'm going to screw it up. But the point being, Ty, that there was a lot of Bills fans that were really upset with you and what you wrote, even though it was fact, and some people don't want to hear, and there were obviously some people in that front office that were upset with you. So what led up to you actually sitting down with Brandon Bean?
Right. I guess on that first point, I think that the fans pouring their hard-earned money into the product that is pro football, what do you got to pay to park? Like 40, 50, 60 bucks, 18 bucks for a beer, God knows what for a ticket, let alone your sanity. I think that the measured, objective fan deserves to read the good, the bad, and the ugly, the truth of any team, what happens behind the scenes, so you can make educated decisions on those purchases, right, and what you're putting your time towards. So, and I've done a lot of these behind-the-scene kind of stories on teams after a coach or after a GM has been fired. I guess Dave Gettleman was sticking around with the Giants there at the end, so he was still with this club. But I don't know. I feel like that's even a cowardly thing to do is to wait. I want to try to – if I hear something and it's interesting and the team's 7-7 – and they're losing the same way they've been losing for a half decade, hell, I'll present all sides. There were a lot of players in those 21,000 words saying a lot of nice things about Sean McDermott. So people can draw their own conclusions, like I said, when we talked way back. To those who actually read it and dug into all three parts, man, I would always open to that conversation. And then there's some that just, you know, see a headline and draw their own conclusions otherwise. All right, now that that's out of the way. I sat down with Sean McDermott at the Combine. After the stories came out, and I don't want to get too far in the weeds here. It's a lot of private conversation. But he wanted to get together after the year and just get to know each other. We barely even talked about those stories. It was It was a great conversation, and I'll just leave it at that. It was very good. He got to know about me. I got to know about him, and I think moving forward, it's a good working relationship. And also, I'll just add, like, nothing was ever refuted in public and private. I obviously stand by all three parts. And I think he gets, you know, what I do with these long-form stories, and moving forward, it'll be great to get all perspectives I possibly can get at One Bills Drive. So I covered the draft right there at the facility all 3 days and covered mini camp this week throughout. And I just put in a request to chat with Brandon Bean, figured, you know, this was a good time to sit down with the general manager of the Bills because, hell, this is the most consequential offseason of his football life since drafting Josh Allen. They're reinventing the team around the quarterback. They've been banging their head against the Super Bowl door for a while, and they're taking some pretty drastic measures to break through. They're not going to move on from the head coach. Head coach and GM are joined at the hip. But I think there are some signs of hope with what they've done the last few months.
Ty, this is amazing news. Before we ask you more about your conversation with Bean, hearing you say that you covered the draft, you were there at minicamp, are we going to see you at training camp this year?
Oh, 100%. I'll be there for sure.
Can't wait.
I cover the whole NFL, but I'll make sure I get a lot of Bills time in.
All right, so this conversation with Brandon Bean, and look, I've said here multiple times this offseason, I don't like what they're doing, man. I don't. These moves don't make sense to me. I don't like. I mean, I get the salary cap is a real thing, and you have to make moves to get underneath that cap. I know what a polarizing figure Stephon Diggs is, what he brought to the table, and what he probably did behind the scenes that not a lot of people had, you know, were able to see or know about. But talk a little bit about the desire what they've done here this off season, this desire to kind of turn things over. And I know one of the things that came up in your conversation was the past sticks with a lot of people, and bringing in new faces and new blood that don't have those shared experiences might actually help you shed some of those negative memories.
Totally. I think that's simultaneously an intentional and unintentional consequence of moving on from so many veterans. And you know, some of these players, they needed to shed salary and go right down the list, right? Tre'Davious White, Mitch Morris, Jordan Poyer, Gabe Davis signs with the Jaguars, and then the big, big, big colossal move to trade Stephon Diggs. You know, you're eating $31 million this year of dead cash. So it's not like you're just clearing space up. They're taking their medicine this 2024 season, and then the next year maybe they can go shopping a little bit. But I think that a major part of this is just wanting to get younger players on the field. Number one, they were an old team. And I just, when you're in that playoff game and you're losing with 13 seconds to go, and then you're losing on a missed field goal, and you're just waiting for something to go wrong. And Brandon Bean acknowledged this. If people want to read the full conversation and go along, see.com, but he said, look, those are scars, right? You don't have 53 players with the same scars going back into that playoff moment whenever that playoff moment arises again. I think that's a good thing for the team. Now, are those players going to be good? I think you're actually upgrading at some of these spots. You can upgrade on the offensive line. You can upgrade in the secondary. You're going to get healthier at linebacker. You got to get something out of Von Miller, and you need Gregory Rousseau to take a jump. I think the big question is Diggs, and I absolutely see both sides to this because – Stephon Diggs is somebody who in 2020 took the intensity level from about a 4.5 to a 9.5 to a 10. He just brings a different electricity to not just the wide receiver group, not just the offense, but the entire team. I think Chad Hall, his wide receivers coach, put it best. He's a military guy, remember, Air Force. He's like, you want him in your foxhole. Like, you want him on your side because he is just going to take you to a different level. And you saw a team start to believe in itself. So there is a lot of good there, and Brandon Bean acknowledged that. So there's a lot of positives. But he also dropped a lot of clues. I mean, if you read this Q&A, he left some breadcrumbs to say, your best players need to be at their best in the playoffs. That hasn't been Stephon Diggs. And he did hint at, you know, this creating a vacuum leadership-wise for somebody else to kind of step up and take on that role. So, and oh, by the way, he didn't want to be a Buffalo Bill, right? I mean, he wanted out. He acknowledged that as well. They could have called his bluff and been like, you're under contract, you're playing. But he wanted out, and they were much obliged. So they take their second-round pick, and they move on.
Yeah, I mean, that's the interesting part, Ty. And we can go back to, I mean, this minicamp was boring compared to last year. Holy cow, what was that all about? But it feels like there certainly is a more to the story there in terms of what was said last June. But also, the change in the offense last year, the last seven games, the New England game when, hey, Stephon Diggs isn't out there to start the second half. What's that all about? You see Diggs not out there on third down. So was this Diggs, in your opinion, or did you get anything from Brandon Bean in your conversation in that regard, that Diggs was already starting to pull back after the coordinator change, as some have speculated, Ty?
And gosh, it's always the perspective you take on something like that, because I get it. Like, you're winning games, and you're winning games in a different way. If you're a team player, you should be all in. I get that point of view. Then there's Stephon Diggs probably thinking, oh, hell, here we go again. In Minnesota, Mike Zimmer kind of set the clock back to 1995, started running the ball. A ton with Dalvin Cook, was really sticking his nose into the offensive room, overriding his coordinator, and didn't want all this passing. He wanted the team to run more. That's what the Bills did with Dalvin Cook's younger brother, James Cook. So I'm sure Stephon Diggs had a little deja vu, like, what are we doing here? Like, why am I a decoy? So, yeah, you can look at it both ways. And another factor here, and Brandon Bean isn't going to just bring this up himself in a conversation, but I've heard this from multiple teammates, that Diggs and McDermott did not see eye to eye. Yeah. To put it mildly, Diggs was not a fan of the head coach and the demands of him up to game day. He wants to get to that game and do his thing, and he's a different cat. But guess what? A lot of receivers are. A lot of those alpha wide receiver ones are going to come with some baggage, and you got to be willing to take some of that baggage on. The Bills were for four seasons and won four division titles, but they reached their breaking point, obviously.
Ty Dunn, Go Long TD, where you can read his full conversation with Bills GM Brandon Bean. Ty, you talked about the leadership void that is created when a guy like Stephon Diggs is no longer on your team. And I think it's an opportunity, should he choose to seize it, for Josh Allen to be that guy, to be the vocal leader, to bring the Josh Allen's words, the juice that Stephon Diggs used to bring to the team. Does Josh have that in him, in his personality? We know he's a competitor, but does he have that juice to kind of fill that void that is left with Diggs no longer being on the roster?
Now, that's a phenomenal question, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. People very close to Josh Allen that would run through a wall for Josh Allen, and he is that kind of leader in the fact that guys genuinely love playing for him, right? Like, they really, really do. This is your high school football teammate under the lights, making memories that you'll have forever. I can't necessarily say on radio how teammates describe him, but it's a 10-year-old making, let's just say, inappropriate jokes and running through your face. That's how he approaches the job, which is great for Buffalo. That's kind of what Buffalo's always wanted at the position. They didn't want the E.J. Manuels and the Rob Johnsons and the J.P. Losmans. This guy is the area, is the city. But he also isn't the type that's going to ball up a fist, go into the head coach's office, and bang the table, upset about how these seasons are ending, or upset about how an offense is running, or this or that. He it's just not in him. He isn't Patrick Mahomes screaming in Eric Bieniemy's face, or Tom Brady going at it with Bill O'Brien, or Aaron Rodgers sniping at anybody he possibly can. He does watch him, really. I mean, when's the last time you saw Josh Allen lose it on anybody? He just doesn't have, and that's a good thing. I think guys like that, but there are times when maybe you should be like that. And yeah, I think him and Stephon Diggs got along fine overall. But they do have two very different personalities, and I think that's why you saw Diggs on the sideline kind of incredulous, gesticulating with his arms. You know, he is wired one way, Allen's wired another, and it works, but also at times maybe it doesn't. And maybe a Keon Coleman, this fun-loving rookie in the Macy's $79 jacket, maybe he does kind of hit it off with Josh Allen in ways Diggs didn't at the end, at least.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Yeah, Ty Dunn, gotdlong.com. We'll tell you more about where you can get his work and certainly doing some good work sitting down with Brandon Bean. Just sticking with Josh Allen, because I'm of the opinion certainly he's one of the top three quarterbacks in this league, but he hasn't won an MVP. And Ty, let's put it another way. Like, we could talk about the safeties and we could talk about the offensive line and wide receiver four, and that's what we'll talk about when we get to training camp. But ultimately, if Josh Allen becomes the MVP of this league and we see that ability, everything's going to take care of itself, in my opinion. What does Josh have to do to finally step his game up to that level, Ty?
Man, I suppose I lean more toward the Josh Allen apologist territory, because you look at some of these other quarterbacks, and I don't know. I mean, this side of Patrick Mahomes, I'd probably take Allen. Maybe Joe Burrow. Burrow's kind of had the Bills' number. It's a game of inches. If he either checks it down to Diggs at the end of that Chiefs game or is able to step into the pocket and deliver a touchdown instead of getting bumped, right? Chris Jones just bench pressing Deion Dawkins back into him. It's an entirely different conversation around Josh Allen. I mean, maybe they win that game, they win at Baltimore, maybe they're Super Bowl champions, and who the hell knows what we're talking about right now. So it's just that's was unfair, in my opinion, to Josh Allen, that it seems like his margin for error in these playoff games has been minuscule. The defense has been an atrocity in the last last five playoff losses. That Texans, when they blew a 16-0 lead, the last four, I mean, I'm top of my head, I believe they've had 32 non-kneel down drives and have allowed 16 touchdowns, 8 field goals, have forced only 1 turnover and forced only 6 punts. That's on Sean McDermott. That's his unit, and they've fallen apart. I mean, fans can be mad at criticism all they want. I mean, those are the cold hard facts. Against Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow in the playoffs, the defense has fallen flat on its face. Injuries, absolutely a part of it, but guess what? A lot of teams are dealing with injuries, and I don't think that's on Josh Allen. I get it. The quarterback has to rise above, but I think if we were to really break this down drive for drive, game to game, hell, Josh Allen in the playoffs has been spectacular.
Ty, with Brandon Bean being, political, he has to be in the role that he's in. I also thought, he might be sitting with Ty just to kind of help, manage expectations for fans going into the season. And the more he talks, the more we kind of get a sense as to what this offseason has been like for him and what exactly we can look forward to or not look forward to this season in terms of how the Bills perform. Do you get the sense that there's some of that managing of expectations happening? And if things don't go well for the Buffalo Bills in 2024, is there a scapegoat? It feels like there's always somebody that you can point the finger to and say, oh, that didn't work out. Is it ultimately the scapegoat at this point? Will it be Sean McDermott? Will it be the dead cap that they're sitting on because of the trade with Stephon Diggs? Do you get the sense that Bean and McDermott will be a package deal for as long as one or both of them are with the Buffalo Bills?
I think so. Terry Pegula, he doesn't want to fire this GM and this coach that have won a lot of games. He's dealing with the Buffalo Sabres and that playoff list streak now, which Amherst fans are well aware of. Yeah. He's got stability in the NFL. He's got a new stadium being built right across Abbott Road. They just got to the second level with those steel beams this week. He doesn't want to risk changing things up. Not that I necessarily agree with that. I think the other way to look at it is, you've got Josh Allen in his prime. Any year you do not win the Super Bowl is a wasted year, because those quarterbacks are a lot harder to find than those head coaches like Sean McDermott. So does he get to that point as the owner? Does he start looking at it that way? I guess it depends how this season goes, right? If Allen plays out of his mind, if he's an MVP talent again, and the defense struggles, I highly doubt that you can really point to the salary cap and money problems and lean on that as a crutch, because right now we're talking about it a lot and thinking about it a lot. Once these games start, few people are really going to care. I highly doubt we'll all be sitting around looking at spreadsheets saying, oh my gosh, they're going to have all this money to spend next offseason. The games are the games. That's what matters most. But to your point, your question, I do think there is a little strategy there from not just Bean, McDermott, all the Buffalo Bills. They know by repeating transition as a theme, and that has been the theme this offseason, you hear that word, and what are you transitioning to, right? You're thinking 2025, 2026, Bean even brought those seasons up. Not necessarily lying, not necessarily being deceitful. They are looking at the long term of this like you have to. I'm sure that can buy them some more time, but I don't think what happens on the field is beholden to that. Things can change. Public pressure is real. If they go 7-10, hell, 8-9, who knows, right? Terry Pegula's changed on a dime before in many, many areas, so I think we just have to buckle in and see.
Ty, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about what many consider to be the biggest story here in the NFL this week. And you did some fantastic reporting on the Green Bay Packers going back to the, toward the end of the Aaron Rodgers era. What do you make of Aaron Rodgers' supposed little vacation here during minicamp?
Oh, do we have another hour? Oh, my God.
We have all the time in the world, man. I want to hear all about this.
Aaron Rodgers is obsessed with Aaron Rodgers, and that's been the case for at least a decade. I'd say about a decade ago, 2014, I was still at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covering the Packers at the time. And then and when I went out to Bleacher Report a couple years later, that's when I really found out about that 2014 inflection point. That's really when he started cutting people out of his life. He and Olivia Munn sent the Christmas presents back to his parents, didn't go to his grandfather's funeral, who he's very close with. He backed out of one of his best friend's weddings from college last minute. That's when people close to Aaron Rodgers saw the shift, saw him changing as a person. And I think that at 1265 Lombardi Avenue, I mean, if we're hearing wild stories about Aaron Rodgers being a pain in the butt, imagine what teammates see, what Brian Gutekunst sees. But he's still really talented. He still wins two MVPs with Matt LaFleur. He's able to earn that $150 million contract late in his career. And then at some point, 2022, when his play falls off, it's just not worth it anymore. You don't want to put up with the headache anymore because his talent doesn't justify it. So now with the Jets, I just think he's a cranky old man who doesn't want to be told no. He's surrounded by yes men. If you do tell him no, you will be removed from his inner circle. He's got, McAfee he can lean on. He still has some allies in the media. He's just constantly looking for new audiences to deceive, right? And eventually the mask comes off. And it is interesting to see that mask come off and for everybody to realize that he has been kind of leading everybody astray, including the entire New York Jets franchise. So they get what they deserve. They knew what they were getting into. And the Packers are absolutely kicking back and taking a deep breath, thankful that they got out of that unscathed, mostly.
So, Ty, quickly, what do you think is more likely? The Jets make the postseason or the Jets clean house at the end of the season?
So, the Jets clean house. I mean, they made some good moves. I mean, they sneakily had a pretty good offseason, but he can't move. Like, with Green Bay, even at his best, it was improvising and freelancing and relying on those audibles with the Devontae Adamses and Randall Cobb. And, they wouldn't even have to make a signal to each other. They'd see the same coverage and just kind of react. I mean, he abandoned Mike McCarthy's offense and Matt LaFleur's offense to kind of do his own thing. I mean, Hackett's going to let him do whatever he wants, right, play to play. I don't see how you can do that, though, when you're off a torn Achilles, 40 years old, unable to race away from linebackers that run 4-4s. Like, good luck, Aaron Rodgers. I can't see this lasting long. He'll probably get hurt, and he'll probably linger, and maybe the Jets win 7 games.
Ty Long. You can read his sit-down.
Ty Dunn.
Excuse me. Ty Dunn. Did I say Ty Long? I apologize. It's Friday. I'm not the one drinking here. Ty Dunn. Ty, I apologize. Ty Dunn, golongtd.com. There's how I screwed that up. Ty, what can fans kind of look forward to when they visit the website, and when is the next happy hour here?
I appreciate that, guys. This has been a lot of fun. The Brandon Bean conversation is up in full. You know, 6,000-7,000 words for subscribers. I think you'll learn a lot and really enjoy it. Definitely going to keep tabs on those Bills back in the building. So always got to know where that bread is buttered. And next week we're having Preston Brown, former linebacker. He played under Marone, Rex Ryan, and Sean McDermott. So he's coming on Zoom with subscribers. We'll throw a few back and probably share some old wild Rex tales. So, you know, this is your chance to kind of ask players whatever you want. I love those happy hours. Get players on from around the country, and I kind of cut out the middleman and let you ask anything you'd like.
You know, Ty, hopefully we get the chance to have our own little happy hour in the sports bar when we see you at St. John Fisher coming up here at the end of July, and really appreciate you giving us some time this afternoon.
Let's do it. Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Thanks, yes. Ty
Dunn, golongtd.com, and you can get that entire conversation with Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Some really interesting insight from Ty. Always enjoy our conversations with him.
It's interesting, the analogy he drew to Minnesota, the end of days with Diggs, how he didn't like the way the offense was going, and if I'm not the focal point, then I'm just going to kind of pull back. It's probably just as simple as that.
Ty said he didn't want to be a Buffalo Bill. When did that start? My guess is that started after the Cincinnati loss. That was probably... Yes. The conversation that was had that, you know, let's send Stephon Diggs home from mandatory minicamp because he doesn't want to be here. He wants to be traded. Why haven't I been traded? I told you I wanted to be traded. And to Diggs' credit, he wasn't a distraction through the course of the season. He said the right things. He showed up. Now, you could argue that he didn't show up fully, like pulling himself out of the game, not being on the field at critical times. But he's a guy that knew he wasn't going to be in Buffalo much longer, and I imagine that most of his teammates knew he wasn't going to be in Buffalo much longer.
Well, what they're putting out there, Brandon Bean putting out there, that there have been some gut-wrenching playoff losses, and this will help us moving forward with changing up some of the personnel that don't know anything. Do you buy that? I would buy it only from this standpoint, Danger, that it's a league that careers are not long. So, like, to me, it's rationalizing things a little bit that you made some moves with the salary cap. You're getting younger. And sure, one of the byproducts of that is you can't ask Curtis Samuel and you can't ask Keon Coleman about 13 seconds.
You have to find ways to showcase the positive in everything that you do if you're in that position. And guys like me will look at everything that they've done this offseason and be like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand what they're doing. But you hear a steady drumbeat of what Brandon Bean is selling, and you start to come around and be like, okay, you know, that is a point. You are younger. You are, you know, younger. That's a positive. You can look towards next season and retooling next season with the cap space that you've that makes sense. Like, you look for those positives, you hammer those positives, and then eventually maybe you forget that you lost some really, really talented pieces here over the course of this offseason, and your roster isn't quite as good as it was last year at this time.
Yeah. Just, I love winding him up on Aaron Rodgers, letting him go. I forgot about sending the Christmas presents back. Didn't know that you didn't go to his own grandfather's funeral.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a special, special character. Happy hour is next in the sports bar. Father's Day weekend. Let's get you there and get you ready for tonight's action at Innovative Field. We've got a game 4 in the NBA Finals to talk about. We'll talk a little bit more about what we unearthed there with Ty Dunn and also with Brian Kozio, who set us up for this weekend's action at Pinehurst for the U.S. Open. We have time for your calls as well. You can call us at 866-4326, 585-8664-FAN. And we're also on X at The Fan Rochester. You can engage with us there as well.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.